Tehillim Chof Zayin. So to start off, what I'd like to do is, instead of doing the regular source sheets, which you get handed, you get written on, I thought maybe we will just try a different style today, and we'll work maybe off altogether off the screen itself. Okay, so there'll be different ways of looking at things. You'll tell me if you appreciate it, if not, but it's just a different way of looking at things. So when we think of this Mizmor, when we think of Mizmor Chof Zayin, the 27th chapter of Tehillim, we often think of this particular time of year. Now, just to break it down, as you can see, there are 14 psukim. There are 14 different verses which it's divided into. And we're going to have to, as we go along, we're going to try to focus on a few of the particular ideas and then come back to get the global picture within the time that we have this afternoon. So the first thing to notice is that if we just start at the beginning, is let's just focus perhaps on the first pasuk. Lo David Hashem oiri v'yishi mimira Hashem ozchayai mimi efchad. Hashem to David. This is a mizmor to David. There's a discussion what that means. What does it mean when it's introduced by the word David? Sometimes when it's mizmor lo David or lo David mizmor, it means different things. Sometimes it could mean that he is inspired, and as a result of his inspiration, he now bursts forth in song or praise. But sometimes it could mean, that when it's the other way around, Le David Mizmor, sometimes it could mean that he is seeking inspiration. He's at a low, and to stimulate that inspiration, he says this very Mizmor. So we have to think about, there's no Mizmor in this one, we have to think about perhaps which one of those two paradigms this fits in, that I'll leave as an open question as we go through it as a background thought. But we have Hashem Ori V'Yishi. God is my light and my salvation. From who should I fear? Hashem Moz Chayai. Hashem is the strength of my life. Mimei Evchad. Who should I be fearful from? So when we see the words Ori V'Yishi, we just see it as a poetic way of describing two ways of describing Hashem as being my salvation. However, the Midrash actually taps into a tradition that not only is this a way of describing Hashem as light and salvation, but it's actually referring to two particular points in the year. Which points in the year is that? Are those? It's going to get my papers in there. What parts of the year are those?
Rosh Hashanah.
Right. So the Midrash. This is the Midrash in Vayikra. I'm just pulling out the papers over here. Important. The Midrash says that Oiri is Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi, my salvation, is Yom Kippur. There's a lot of interesting connections of why that should be so, but on the most basic level, before you can achieve salvation, you need to have the inspiration or the clarity to be able to know where you're going. Right? So in terms of a working process, any process that you're going to work through towards something, you need to have the light or the clarity at the beginning, which is perhaps the time that we take at the beginning of a year in order to be able to reach the next stage, which is the salvation. So we thank or praise or request from Hashem the light at the beginning of the year in order to be able to reach the Yishi, as we work towards Yom Kippur as well. Now, this is not the only connection to the time that we're in. This Mizmor actually is linked in another way to the time period that we're in terms of numbers. There's number 13, which is very important actually in this entire Mizmor, and this is pointed out by earlier Sfarim. We're talking about in the year 1706, a Sefer called the Sefer Shem Tov. One of the earliest Sfarim actually mentions that we say this Mizmor during this time period. He focuses on the point that if you look carefully, there's in fact actually 13 mentions of the Shem Yud Ke Vav Ke, which is the name of Hashem, which is a parallel to what? Why is 13 a relevant number to this time period? The 13 Midot. But why is that the 13 Midot of Rachamim? Why are those 13 Midot specifically relevant to now, to this time period?
Because that's what we want.
That's what we want, but even historically, just to take it back even more than what we want and we know we use as a tool, but historically speaking, there was what? Correct. So just to understand, there were three sets of 40 days on the mountain. Moshe went up for the first 40 days, in which he went on the 6th of Sivan, he ascended to Har Sinai, received the Torah. 40 days later brings us down on the 17th, or the 16th, going to the 17th of Tammuz, which is when, what happened? The Egel HaZahav happened, and he broke the Luchos. That's 40 number one. Started off wonderfully, ended terribly. He spent another 40 days, from the 18th of Tammuz to about the 28th of Av,
pleading that we shouldn't be destroyed. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. He decided to go up for 40 more days in order to request something else. Because you see, we had been taken off the hook for the particular sin of the Egel HaZahav. But the question was, what about in the future? What about when we mess up in the future? He prayed not only for the current kapara, but for the future kapara. He went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which took 40 days until 30 and 40, 10 days is Yom Kippur. So he came down on Yom Kippur, that's the 30 days of Elul, and the 10 days of Tishrei. Coming down on Yom Kippur, having received the assurance of the 13 midot of Rachamim. The 13 attributes, which are a tool for us to use and were used at later points in Tanakh very clearly as a tool of atonement. What's fascinating about that is interwoven into this mizmor, which we recite during these 40 days, some people extend it as well to Sukkos as well, to Shmini Atzeres, are the 13 midot of Rachamim. So something just to bear in mind. But that doesn't really help us in terms of understanding thematically why is this mizmor such. There are two indications, the Ori of Yishu, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yom Kippur, and we have these 13 mentions of Hashem's name, but really it's upon us now to try to understand how the Mizmor itself reflects that theme. That's going to be a little bit of the work that we're going to try to work together. Clear? Great? Okay, so that's what we're going to be working towards now. So if we just break up a little bit into the first section of the Mizmor, taking the first five psukim of the Mizmor, we have David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. Hashem is my light and my salvation. Mimi Ira, who should I fear from? Hashem Moaz Chayai. God is the strength of my life. Mimi Echad. Who can be afraid from? And now he gives a list of possible antagonizers from whom he does not worry. So here we go. Bekrov Alai Mereim Lechol Spesari. When my enemies, or the people who seek out bad, from the word Ra, not friends in this case, the people who seek out bad to do, want to eat my flesh, tzarai v'ovali, my antagonizers and my enemies, hey, makosha will follow. I'm confident that they will fall. Im tachaneh ala machaneh, lo yira libi. If there's even a war host in camping against me, so he's enlarged the scope of the threat, then lo yira libi, I don't even fear in my heart. Im takum ala milchama, if there's a war, not just a cat host, you see just the expanding threats upon his safety. Bezos ani otach. In this, I will be sure. I will feel a sense of safeness, secure. Right? We know in Israel today the word for safety, the ministry is bitachon. Right? So, we will be in this. I will be otach. So let me just ask you a question over here. What exactly is that bezos? Right? What do we have over here when we're talking about this bezos? What options do we have out over here that David is so sure of himself that any of these threats are not going to be a problem? Has he mentioned it? Will he mention it? Maybe it's coming up.
It's coming up rather than referring.
Okay, fine. So what Esther is saying is that's really the next pasuk, which is, let's just bring that out. Achaz she'alti me'es Hashem, I once asked of God, oisa avakesh, that I will request. Shifti beves Hashem kol yimei chayai. Let me dwell in the house of Hashem all the days of my life. Lachazoes benoam Hashem, to see or perceive the noam Hashem, the pleasantness of God. Ulevaker beicholoi, and let's not translate that for a moment. To have some sort of engagement with the temple. Is that so? What Esther is saying is that this request, or maybe this hope, is going to be his safe haven from his enemies. Okay, but we have to think of it. Sorry, yeah?
No, I think he already says Hashem Moaz Chayai.
Okay.
He already believes that.
Okay, so there's two different directions coalescing. Yeah, just 1 second. Yeah, I just want to just paint out what we say, the difference in what the directions we're going. In a certain sense, Esther's saying it's the hope. And it's not just Esther and Timna and Leah. There's actually, these are the Mephoreshim who discuss these different approaches. And what Leah is saying, followed by a number of the Mephoreshim, is that in fact the very request itself, the very request itself is something which gives him a peace of mind. Knowing that he has this closeness, the proximity with the divine is something which saves him. What Tim is saying is that no, he's already mentioned this. I know that God is Ma'oz Chayai. I know he is the strength of my life. Experientially, I know it, I've experienced it, and it's going to continue. Not necessarily a request based on the future. Leah, what were your thoughts?
Can Bezos also refer to someone's preparation, like it says, for the Kohen Gadol,
okay, great. So you're already taking out of the direct context, which is an important part, to other cases what this might mean. And this is very relevant. I'm going to get to your point in just a moment. In terms of technique, what we're going to try to first focus on is the direct surroundings and expand outwards towards the rest of Tanakh. So you're absolutely right. This does have resonance with the rest of Tanakh, that bezos is actually a very important word which appears in some very interesting sections which may relate to this. So I want to come back to your points in just a second. So I do think that within the Mizmor there may be two directions. The one is that as Tim has said, in the past I have known that God has been Ma'oz Chaya. I've known that I have been saved by God. That is what now tells me that when the enemies come along, I am about taking this. If so, the continuing pasuk, if we're going to take the approach of Timna, the continuing pasuk is another thing, is another point. Now I'm going to ask of God something. I really know I'm safe. So now that I'm safe, I would like to make a request that I have closeness to God. Whereas, the way that Esther is saying it is that we're synthesizing, we're moving to the two together. The hope and the will that I can get there is what's going to save me. That's even more tenuous in a certain sense. Because it sounds like he doesn't necessarily have it yet. Do you see this? Because in the request, if the request is which is giving him safety, he's saying, let's just play with the tenses for a second, Pasuk Dalet. Achaz sho'alti me'eis Hashem. Okay, I asked in the past. But osa avakesh is, I will ask in the future. Right, so there's something unusual about the request that he's having. Right, there's something. It sounds like it's something which is perpetual, ongoing, everlasting. Which in fact, the Malbim says is exactly the point. David HaMelech is saying that throughout my life, I know that there's only one thing which it comes down to. There's one thing in my life which is important to me, and that is proximity or closeness to the divine. Knowing that I have Hashem there. Which is very fascinating, a very fascinating point. If you start reading at the beginning of Strive for Truth of Rav Dessler, he really describes very interestingly when you look through, when you take a summary, survey. When you take a survey of people who have lived through life and you see what's been important to them, the things they depend on, in a certain sense, we're all familiar that material things are not going to be those things which in the end of the day are important. You may have a lot of security in whatever it may be, as a king in your army, as in a state, in a government, also in your laws, your money. As individuals, there are many things we place trust in. But in a certain sense, what David HaMelech is expressing over here through the words of the Malbim are, I asked and I will request. It will remain constant. I know that there's only one thing which really matters. Reminds me a little bit of a story that there was a person who was an exceptionally rich person, and he wrote, and it came time when he passed away, and his children opened up his will, and it said that in fact he made one request to his children. They would divide up the inheritance, and so much would go to so and so, and so much would go to so and so. But he had one request, and that would be that he would be buried in his purple socks. So the sons came to the rabbi and said to the rabbi, you know, this is his last request. We'd like to honor it. The rabbi said, sorry, the halacha requires that a person is only buried in shrouds. You can't have any other clothing. They said, but this is his last request. You know, this is very important. They argue. And at the end of the day, no compromise is made that he has to be buried in his shrouds. A few days later, when they're going through his desk and they're looking through everything, they find there's a note there. And they open up the note and it says, my dear children, I just wanted to make one last point. And the point is that as much money as you have, you can't even wear your socks into your grave, right? You can't even wear your socks into your grave. And that's something which he wanted to teach his children, which is something which he felt was very profound for them. In a certain sense, what David HaMelech is saying over here is, Achaz sha'alti me'es Hashem osa vakesh. When I have God close to me, other things are in flux. Other things move, they come, they go. But I know that if I have this constant, that's going to be the point which is steadfast throughout my life. So that's something which is also just expressed over here in just the change, the abrupt change in tense as part of his security. Now, yes, sorry.
Were you saying at first that the fact that he uses the future tense shows some insecurity because he will continue to need that?
So you could go like that. You could take it in the sense that I have asked and I'm hoping to ask, but the Malbim sees it as, in a certain sense, fitting with the theme of this section, is exceptionally calm. I have asked, I will ask, and I know that it's always the same. Once I have this, I have security going in the direction that Esther was saying. This is what I'm trusting in. I'd like to just for a moment take a step out of the orbit that we're in, just to pull in what Leah had mentioned. And that is that Bezos actually appears another amount of times in Tanakh. One of the important times is in a pasuk in Vayikra, which says, Bezos yavoi Aharon el HaKodesh. With this, Aaron will enter into the Kodesh. When is this referring to in Achrei Mos? What is referring? Yom Kippur. Achrei Mos begins with the service of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And how? How does Aaron appropriately enter the Kodesh Kadoshim? Not like his sons Nadav and Avihu, right? Remember, this is the contrast at the beginning of Achrei Mos. Once Nadav and Avihu died, entering in inappropriately, how does the Kohen Gadol really enter? Bezos, with this. And the Ramban quotes the Medrash, and without spending time on the entire Medrash, he notes a number of other times where Bezos is used in Tanakh, or Zos itself is used. And the point of it is, I'm just going to read the second line, V'raboseinu ramzu bo, and our rabbis said there is a hint in here. Amru b'vayikra rabba, this is said in the Midrash of Vayikra rabba on the spot over here. Rabbi Yudon pasar karye b'kohen gadol b'chinisosa l'beis kodesh HaKadoshim. Rabbi Yudon would explain the verse of the Kohen entering the Holy of Holies. Chavilois, chavilois, shal mitzvois b'yodoi. He had to have a number of different mitzvahs in his hands. There's b'schus HaTorah, because of Torah, which is called v'zos HaTorah. B'schus Mila, in the schus of Bris Mila, which is also called Zos Brishi Asher Tishmoru. There's Shabbos, there's Yerushalayim, there's Shvatim, and Yehuda. And finally, Knesset Yisrael as a whole. There's Truma and Maestros. There's a number of things which the word is used Zos. Now this, it may sound to you like a shopping list of different terms, but in fact, if you were to actually go through these, there's one or two unique themes which run through all these different places where Bezos is used. And this is not going to be the point today, so I don't want to focus on this. There's a beautiful shir given by Rebbe Zin Peshi Neuberger, which I found on YU Torah. We're advancing an idea of Rabbi Charlap, Rabbi Zvulun Charlap, who's the Dean Emeritus of Reeds of YU. Beautiful, beautiful ideas. What? And his daughter, of course. And so she really accentuates the theme of Bezos throughout Tanakh. But for our purposes, I want to just direct our attentions that within the Mizmor there's the notion of Bezos, of the safety, but there's also the global idea that if I have my connection, if I've put in my connection to Hashem, and these are specific mitzvahs which are chosen, then I have that security which I can say Bezos ani botach. That's something which is relevant, but it gets a little more subtle when trying to understand the specific examples. Okay, with bearing time in mind, I would prefer to move on to get an expanse of the whole Mizmor rather than specifically this pasuk. This is just a choice with our limitation to the time that we have. Okay, but I would definitely encourage a further investigation. I'd like to, and also discussion with this afterwards to what we're referring to in Bezos. So now the question is as we discussed, the movement between Bezos ani boteach and to the achas sha'alti. That is something he's trusting in, which leads him, which brings about this fact that he is requesting, that he requests being close to Hashem. But the point that I'd like to focus on just for one moment is just a bit of a discrepancy over here in the request itself. You see, because it sounds like, if you were to summarize David HaMelech's request in English, how would you summarize that within one sentence? What does he want? What does he really want in the sentence? Use the word return. You're using the word return as shavti. This is shifty. What is?
He just wants to be there.
He wants relaxing. You can imagine.
Sit in the basement.
Right. He wants to be in modern day terms in a base medrash. But in his terms, actually, it's actually the Beis HaMikdash. He wants to have
a Beis HaMikdash.
Right. So that's a very good point. He doesn't have the Beis HaMikdash, and part of that is his yearning, perhaps, to be in the place of the Divine, wherever the Aaron is at this point in time, or perhaps with even the aspirations of creating that global place. You're right. But really the problem is there's a bit of a discrepancy, because Shifti Beves Hashem sounds like a permanent dwelling. Sounds like a permanent dwelling, whereas the end of the verse, it says Ulevaker Behechala. What does the word Levaker means? To visit. When we use a colloquial, you talk about Bikur Cholim, we visit the sick. Now you don't camp out in your friend's house for Bikur Cholim. It's a visit. You spend time and you leave. So what is David Melech requesting? What does he want? Does he want to be there? Does he not want to be there? Does he want to be there frequently or less? What, yes, sorry, Leah.
The
Vakir
is not only to visit, it's also to criticize, to look.
Great.
At the Vakir.
So what Leah and Rashi explain is that Levaker is also, Bikur is also an idea of examination, analysis. So part of what Levaker in this context may be is Ulevaker Behechola is to spend time examining, analyzing, becoming one with being in the temple, within the setting of the temple. Does it? It's not the easiest read, just because Levaker Behechola sounds like it's to deal with place rather than contemplation. But there's some aspect of Levaker Behechola, of contemplation of the divine, not just being there, it's also being involved, intellectually involved.
Well, I mean, even if you go to a bit medrash every day, you're not living there. Mm-hmm. Shifty doesn't mean living there. So shifty and levaker can really be parallel.
So you're saying poetically, shifty is dwelling for a short time, or sitting for a short time rather than the longer term. Yes, sir.
Should we be discouraged that we can't be there?
So that I want to reserve that question for the end of the Mizmor, because that's where it's explored fully. Okay. I would like to exactly explore exactly that point, because that might be the flip side of this point. Mm-hmm. If you find solace, if you find security in being there, mm-hmm. So what happens when you don't have there? Okay, that's going to be the flip side of this. But it's just something I'd just like to bring out as another possibility over here. Is in a certain sense, this is really maybe the parallel between engagement and marriage, if you think about it. So if you think, I was once in yeshiva, it was described to me as follows. Sometimes you'll see, you know, a couple in an engagement, and they're floating in the clouds. It's wonderful. They're living in a different planet. They forget where they're going. It's such a special time of this dizzy. Romance between a couple. But however, then sometimes when you take a look a little further along the road, once they're married, once they're back to regular life, they've settled down to the fact that they're not just meeting their beloved, they're actually living with them, and it's day in, day out, and sometimes you see after, you know, unfortunately a couple years down the road, their regular criticisms, is back there. It's lost something of that, which is a necessary part of the development of a marriage, but it sometimes takes it down, and there's almost a loss of that initial inspiration, remembering how they met, where they met, the beauty of that relationship. Part of the importance of both relationships, it's very important to have an engagement, but it's very important to have a marriage. You could not spend your life engaged, you'd go mad. But you couldn't spend your life, but you can't only be married. You need to have that point of inspiration where everything's beautiful, pristine. It's the window dressing of your entire life. Part of what David HaMelech in a certain sense is saying is, I want to be constantly there, just taking a little bit of a different way from what Tuna was saying. But perhaps Shifty is more long-term. I want to have a long relationship, but I want it to be the type of relationship that I feel like I'm always visiting. I want to feel that relationship is one where it's special. It's not just there all the time. And in fact, it's the engagement and the marriage together. It's the engagement and the marriage together. I want to be there all the time, but I want to have that the beauty of the renewal. And that's perhaps one of the reasons why this is also a very beautiful thing. When people wrap tefillin, when men wrap tefillin, they wrap three layers around their finger. And on each one, they say a section of a verse in our share. And the first section, wrapping as you wrap the strap around, which is almost symbolic of that wedding ring, is Vayarastik Li Lo'olam. I'll be betrothed to you eternally. That's the tension we have over here. Betrothal, this not real, this high and beautiful relationship, but what? Lo'olam, forever. Having the balance between the two of them. That's something a little bit also involved in this request of what David HaMelech is requesting over here. Okay, so that's part of what we have, and I'd like to now just develop a little the Mizmor itself. I skipped a pasuk over here. Because, now coming back to his original theme, Hashem will hide me in His sukkah, in His safe haven, on the bad day. Yastireni b'seisara aloi, b'tzur yorem imeni. In the rock He will lift me up. And in fact, historically, this actually occurred, because David HaMelech had a descendant whose name was Yoash, right? Who later on was the last of Davidic descent. The rest had been wiped out by his enemies, and his aunt saved him by hiding him, where? In the attic above the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So there's interesting historic ramifications of being hidden in the Sukkah of Hashem, in the safe haven of Hashem, which sort of plays itself out in history as David's line was perpetuated via that Sukkah. Just an interesting historical point.
Is there anywhere else where Sukkah means his Sukkah, because it's not really grammatical?
Oh, interesting. Meaning what you're saying is the comparison between it's Sukkah Sheloi, his Sukkah, and Sukkah. I'm not sure. Yeah. Right, I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure on that point. Right, but that's is the Sukkah Shel Shalom. That's what she's saying. Sukkah Shelo is Sukkah. This is an interesting grammatical point. I will try to get back to you on that one. I have not come across that. Orphan, I don't. Sukkato, right.
It could also be a heading, a sukkah. And sukkah is on the one hand ohalo and
but
a
this is sukkot, not sukkah.
But it
refers to a sukkah. Right, but it sounds like the possessive over here. It does sound like possessive. I will look into that. It could be, I'm trying to see. Maybe it might be part of that, the meter of the ohalai parallel there. I'm not sure on that. I'd just like to skim through. I'll just pick up one or two points, we'll get to the end, so I can just have an overall piece, because if we come out with little pieces, it's meaningful, but as well as trying to get the whole view. And now I'll lift up my head over my enemies around me. I will bring in his ohel. Right? This is the merging of the two themes of his enemies outside, but in response to the enemies, bringing sacrifices. Zivchei trua, the zvachim, the sacrifices of trua. Trua is when you blow the shofar, which is usually associated in Tanakh with what? With war, right? Trua to use used as well as Rosh Hashanah, but trua is used in war and in camping, which is interesting that where is the trua emanating from? It's emanating from his service in the temple. Do you see that? It's interesting that his service is that which is yielding again his protection, which relates back to the theme of him being safe or feeling safe when he has that connection to God. Interesting point over there. Ashir v'azam al Hashem, I will praise and sing to Hashem. Shema Hashem kol yekra, listen to God, my voice Hashem as I call out. V'chaneni v'aneni, and grant me favor and answer me. V'chol mar libi bakshuf anai, es ponecho Hashem avakesh. Very hard verse to translate. To you Hashem, I request to bakshuf anai, that you should see my face, and I will see your face. Sounds reciprocal. I want you to look into my face. I want to look to your face. What really is the connection between the two avakesh? You notice he uses the same words. Bakshu fonai, seek out my face, and you shall see me. And I will. And yeah, exactly. This was a change in tense. But that's more of a command. Bakshu fonai is a command. It's not past. It's you will seek out my face, and avakesh, I will seek out yours.
He wants a connection.
He wants the connection, but what's interesting in this connection, in this relationship is, and this is pointed out by the Sefer Eitz Hadas Tov, which is an interesting latest Sefer on Tehillim, which says as follows, that Bakshuf Onai, in order for me to have the relationship of searching out your face, I need to, in a certain sense, search out my face. Is my face respect? Is my face reflecting the Tzelem Elokim? Is my face reflecting you, God, that I can search out you? There's a parallel over here in terms of the steps or the order of searching out that relationship. First, bakshu fonai, my face needs to be searched out, and then I can search out the face of Hashem, paralleled in the two words of bikush, of searching. Just a fascinating point as we move through over there. In the last section, this is the last few psukim, al taster ponecha mimeni, don't hide your face from me, al tat ba'af avdecha, don't repel me in anger. Ezrasi Hayisa, you used to be my helper. Al titsheni va'al ta'azveni. Do not leave me. The two expressions of leaving, Elokei Yishi, the God of my salvation, which is referring back to the Hashem Ori v'Yishi. Don't leave me now, because I know you are the God of my salvation. Ki avi v'imi azavuni. If I'm asking you not to leave me with the word azav, to leave me, I'm saying that my parents have abandoned me. It's a very profoundly powerful statement over here. Because in a certain sense, this is the closest relationship a person has in life. Right? The people who care about a person the closest, who invest the most in that person, more than even necessarily a spouse, because the parents were there for the first 20 years of investment, of day after day and night after night of investment. And even then, in a certain sense, he feels that intrinsically there may be abandonment, but what? Hashem Yasveni. It's a very Hashem pulls me and Hashem gathers me. And that's a very powerful statement, which requires a lot of exploring. This is to the extent of his existential aloneness, but the favor he finds in Hashem's eyes. Horeni Hashem darkecho, Hashem, show me your ways, unacheni, and lead me ba'orach mishar leman sharai, and take me in the straight way in order to evade, in brackets, those people who are taking power against me. Al titneni b'nefesh tzarai, do not put me to the will or the whims. Nefesh is your innermost ratzon, your innermost will of those who are my enemies. Ki komu v'edei sheker, there are false witnesses coming against me, v'fach chamos, and those who breathe, or actually another word for witness, who breathe falseness. These are referring to people in his life, like the zifim who betray him, doeg, who slanders him to shoal. He's referring to specific instances, as some of the Farshim point out in his life, people who came up against him. Because, lulei he'emanti, if I had not believed, liros b'tuv Hashem eretz chayim, to see Hashem in the world of life, what's the end of that sentence? Well, there's no end to that sentence. You know, so that really there should be an ellipsis right over here. There should be an ellipsis. He doesn't even want to say the end of the sentence. If I didn't believe in Hashem, to see the good in Hashem in the world to come, in a safe place, then I couldn't even express that. And he sort of interrupts himself mid-sentence to say, Kavei al Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecha v'kavei al Hashem. So put your hope in Hashem, strengthen yourself, and hope in Hashem. Poetically, he's interrupting his thought. What would it be if I didn't have Hashem with me in the world to come? Oh, I just hope in Hashem, hope in Hashem. He is interrupting that thought because he can't even imagine it. What is interesting is, when you just have the words over here, you're missing actually an interesting element of the pasuk, which is that there are actually dots above and below the word lulei in the actual text itself. There's four dots above, and there are two dots below the lamed and the aleph, which lead there to be a drosh of chazal, which is a gemara in brachos, which says as follows: the David mi kari nafshei chassid. Did David really think of himself as a chassid, somebody who was perfect or beyond and above the regular expectations? Vaksiv, doesn't it say, lulei hemanti liros b'tuv Hashem eretz chayim? V'tana mishmed Rebbe Yossi, and the Tana, the teacher, or the earlier Tanaitic source taught in the name of Rebbe Yossi, lama nakud al lulei. Why are there dots on top of the lulei? Amar David, because David said to himself, Livnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of God, Ribono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, Muvtach ani b'cho, she'ata mashalem schar tov l'tzadikim na'asei lavoi. I have full trust that there is a system of justice, that there will be recompense, there will be good and merit for those who did the right thing. Aval eini yodea im yesh li chelek b'neim imlav. But I myself cannot say I'm necessarily afforded a seat. I still worry that shema yigra machet, that maybe I didn't do enough. Maybe there's something I'm lacking, which maybe doesn't afford me that. So in the sentence itself, even the dots above it are pointed towards this lack of surety, this lack of clarity that David experiences in lulei he'emanti. You'll notice as well that there are two dots only under the lamed aleph. You could read this as lo he'emanti liros b'tuv Hashem eretz chayim. I almost didn't think that I was part of this, which is
why are there two dots like the colon after Hashem?
Oh, this is actually the punctuation of Mechon Mamre, where I took the text from. They have a different way of punctuating, but that isn't in the pasuk itself. That's just their way of breaking up and using different breaks, which, as you'll see, art scroll will do it differently. They'll use commas more. So that's more of a convention than the actual thing. But the dots over here you'll find in the more ancient texts. To pull it together, just at the end over here, is Kaveh Hashem Chazak Yemes Lebecha VeKaveh Hashem. You'll notice that it actually says Kaveh twice. It's almost like he has to reaffirm. Please, just hope in Hashem. Find your hope in Hashem, which has, again leads the Gemara to say on this very point. Omer Rabbi Chama BeRabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chama BeChanina points out a very integral point when it comes to praying. Im Ra'a Adam Shispala V'lo Nene. A person is praying and he doesn't see the answer right there. Yachzor V'Yispalel. He should continue to pray. Why? Shenemar Kaveh El Hashem Chazak V'Yemes Libecha V'Kaveh El Hashem. David HaMelech is saying, in the state of lack of clarity, in the state of worry, I reaffirm to myself, I close this mizmor by saying, hope to Hashem, but it's not just enough to hope, but it's to hope twice, because sometimes it doesn't come through. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily come through the first time around. That's the way he ends this on a very strong note to what seemed to be more of a faltering approach to things. Yes, sorry, Timna.
No. Sorry. Are there any opinions about when he wrote this?
Yeah, so there are discussions. Some people say this is towards the end of his life, where David HaMelech, where his war host has told him not to come out with him to war. So this is part of the debate that he's having. He's spent his life fighting, and now he has to spend his time actually staying in the house of Hashem and desiring that. Or you could say this is not mentioned, but I would say most logically it's at a point where he's tired of the war. He's looking for something else. He's looking for the freedom. I'm going to spend another few minutes. So I know this is the end of the time. So nobody should feel free. Everybody should feel free to leave right now if they need to. No captive audience at all, please. I'm going to just spend just 2 more minutes just to get
isn't
an overall
David,
theme.
Isn't he ageless? David
is ageless. But part of, meaning the words that he expressed are ageless. Mm-hmm. But the situations which he's reflecting on were the experiences he experienced, but we can resonate with, just to put that. We have stages in our lives where we feel we need to leave the war out there and come back and find solace within us, within our own peace.
Was this before or after the war with his son? His son?
Not clear. Not abundantly clear. That part is not clear. I have to just draw over here that, interestingly, you could actually divide this up into 2 real sections over here. If you take this mizmor into 2 sections, you'll notice that the first section seems to be one of calm. Did you notice that all the psukim at the beginning section, up to the verse, up to pasuk vov, seem to one of trust, calm, I know where I am, I know I have the certain sense of tranquility and calm. Whereas the second set over there is what? Do you notice that he actually turns the voice? Shema Hashem kol yekra. He's no longer talking about Hashem, he's addressing Hashem. Do you see he's turned the voice? Shema Hashem kol yekra. Listen to me, this is an intimate prayer right now to find, he's lost. He's going through this. Don't hide from me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me as others have left me. And he ends off on the most terrible note. Lulehem antilustrutashem. If I don't have that connection to God, what would I have? And then he reaffirms himself. This is in a certain sense the other side, the worry, the angst. Which by the way, you should know, academics would lead some people to say, in fact, there are 2 authors to this mizmor, which I just, you know, I don't want to have to rail against this, but when you read James Joyce, you know, his portrait of an artist as a young man, he changes the way he writes when he's younger and when he's older to reflect the way he perceives reality, right? A writer's use writing techniques to express different moods and different ways of, or different times in their lives. If we can give James Joyce the benefit of the doubt that he was the same writer in the same book, I think that we should be able to understand that perhaps David HaMelech is using different tools over here to express something very important, and that is that humans are complex. Human beings are complex beings, and that is that you may go through periods in your life in which you have a calm and you know that Hashem is with you. You know that all you need is that closeness to Hashem. That's what's going to carry you through until the war host starts running towards you. Right? When whatever that war host is, whenever that trouble comes and you're in the thick of it, suddenly the mood changes very dramatically. And the question is how you deal with that. Part of this, part of the reason why this theme is so relevant to us now and today in Elul as well, is because we live with certain realizations, with certain paradigms, ways of looking at the world, and how those translate once we're in the battlefield. How those translate when we meet reality head on. And what David HaMelech is saying is, I realize, it's the same theme, I realize that the one thing I need is closeness to Hashem. I need that closeness in order to be carry on. That's what he's comforted by. But he has to reaffirm that when he's actually in the situation. And he can't even say what it'll be like without having that. Which is why he ends, Kaveh al Hashem, Chazak Yemesu, Bechavah Kaveh al Hashem. He reassures and he strengthens that.